You know, it was a long time ago, he says, fear not. And you know, we're singing tonight, and some of the songs we're talking about, fear not. You know, one of the things that takes away the joy that I have is fear.
Right.
Fear. And over in Isaiah 41,
well, excuse me, son, this is your old step on it. You just kind of look about it.
Sorry, son. It says over in Isaiah 41 in verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God.
Hallelujah.
I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the righteousness, with the right hand of my righteousness. And it goes on to say here how you're going to have some problems. You know, it doesn't say that you can have no fear and not to worry because life's going to be free and easy. That's not the case. There's right. going to be problems out there. But he says, for I, this is the reason. In verse 13, he goes, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You know, as I look out, and I'm looking at this path ahead of me, you know, the rest of my life, you know, I'm not worried about it. There's no fear out in front of me. You know, I was reading an article, and it was out in the Midwest, and what happened sometime back is this, there was this truck driver, and he's driving along, and it's nighttime, you know, and it's drizzling, rain, you know, it's hard to see, you know, and all of a sudden, he's got a couple of cars in front of him, and all of a sudden, one of the lights, or the lights of one of the cars in front of the taillights go out, you know. Well, he's driven this road before. He didn't really think a whole lot out of it. But then the next thing, you know, is the car right in front of him, the next car, the lights on that car went out. Well, all of a sudden, I guess this man knew the road well enough, where all of a sudden fear gripped him, and he slams on the brake, and he comes to a stop and pulls his truck over on the road, and he's at the foot of this bridge here. And he walks out, and sure enough, half the span of that bridge had given way over this swollen river. And so these lights on these cars had gone out because they had gone over that bridge and drove right off the span and fell into the river below. And so all of a sudden, here's this guy, and he looks back, and he sees more cars coming.
Oh, man.
And so he runs out there, and now he's standing trying to stop these cars from coming. And I guess from all the carnage and stuff, and from his testimony, they're trying to figure out what happened. About 14 more cars went by, went right by him. Drove right past him. And drove that bridge and just fell off into the abyss there. Right off into the darkness. Right off into that swollen river. 14 cars. Can you imagine what he felt like? Can you imagine this guy standing there in the road, almost getting killed, almost getting run over by them, as he watches these cars go, knowing that each car is filled with people that in just a few seconds are going to fall into death?
Right.
You know, the bridge between man and God is broken.
That's right.
The bridge between man and God is out. And there's no way that man is going to get from heaven because that bridge was broken in the Garden of Eden and by sin through Adam. Sin and death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And so now what we have a whole world of 6 billion people driving through the night and it's rain and they can't see what's out there. And they're headed for a bridge that's out.
That's right.
And we know it's out, though.
Yeah.
And it says here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You know, I got a bridge to help
you.
And my bridge ain't out. You know? And you know who my bridge is? It's a person.
Amen.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That bridge for me has been reestablished.
Amen.
God has reached down and he's repaired the bridge. And sometimes when I'm driving down the road still, I can't see too far out there. And sometimes it's still dark. And sometimes it's still raining. And I can't hardly see the way. But one thing I know, when I'm driving down that road, the bridge ain't out.
That's right.
Amen. And no fear, the bridge is going to be there.
Amen.
And when I get to that swollen river,
hallelujah,
I won't fall into death.
Because
I'll be upheld by the right hand of the Lord's right.
Amen.
Oh, I praise the Lord. And I thank God for what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me.
Don't
look at it and I can say, I don't fear what's coming in my life.
Amen.
When it comes to salvation. God has fixed the bridge. He's made a bridge through Christ Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life.
Hallelujah.
If any man's going to come unto the Father, he's going to come unto the Father by me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 8. I'd like to look at four words that are very familiar to me, but as I begin to think, and I've been thinking all this week about Thanksgiving, things I'm thankful for. You know, I've looked over my family, and I've looked over the church, and I've looked over many doctrines and blessings, and you know, as I looked at this, a long time ago, I came up with a passage here, the very first sentence in chapter 8 of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Jesus tonight?
Amen.
Is the Spirit of God in your heart tonight?
Amen.
Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Does Jesus dwell in your heart? Brother, there's no condemnation.
Amen.
I'm thankful tonight I can walk free from sin. I'm thankful I can walk tonight free from a worry about the judgment of sin. I'm thankful tonight I'm not under the condemnation of Almighty God. I'm His Son. I'm His heir. I'm His beloved. And I'm on my way to glory. He's made the way. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you're not in the flesh, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Amen.
Need to get that down straight. But you can walk happy every day of your life. Why? There's no condemnation in you. If you're the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk condemnation free. If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart.
Amen.
Believe God and don't doubt your heart. Look at verse 15.
Amen.
Romans 8:15.
Amen.
You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else I'm happy about tonight. I'm not in bondage.
Amen.
I've been set free.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, I think of the people tonight that are in bondage to sin, bondage to religion, bondage to their fears, bondage to the devil. By the grace of God, He broke the chains.
Amen.
Oh, I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to a lot of things, my friend. I had a lot of things that were binding me down and holding me down. But by the grace of God, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Hallelujah.
And I came to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He made me free. And there's no bondage tonight.
Hallelujah.
No belief in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at that next verse, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's no comparison. No comparison. Oh, listen, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what sort of burdens you have or what sort of worries or cares you're carrying. I don't know what sort of problems physically or financially or personally or in your family. But, oh, my friend, I don't know what you're suffering, even for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where you may be. But, friend, just think about it a minute. Nothing you can suffer is even in a comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed.
Amen.
I'm heading to a place where they pave the streets with gold.
Amen.
I'm heading to a place, I want you to know, there are 12 great gates in that thing. Each one of them is one pearl.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When they were looking for rocks to put in the foundation of that thing, they put diamonds and emeralds and jewels.
Amen.
That's what the foundation's made of.
Amen.
I want you to know the light of that place is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to know the joy of that place is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to know I'm going to live forever.
Amen.
Praise God. There's no comparison. You begin to think of the blessings God's got for you. You begin to think of what the future holds for you. I'm not worried about no 10 and a little 20 years more I'm going to live down here, 25 or 30, or maybe one or two. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the one that loved me and died for me, washed me in His blood. There's no comparison with any problem you've got with what God's going to give you. Oh, then, my friend, there's no separation. No condemnation, no bondage. No comparison. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want you to know you can take all the list in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Almost 30 years ago, over 29 years ago, God Almighty saved my soul, changed my life, called me to preach the gospel. Haven't been separated in for 29 years.
Amen.
Lord, you know something else? I'm never going to be separated from
Him.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God.
That's right.
Amen. Not the troubles of the past, not the problems of today, not the disasters of the future. Nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
I've been born of the Spirit of God and dwelt by the Spirit of God. I live in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God, my friend. I rejoice tonight that I'm not under condemnation. I rejoice tonight that I'm not under bondage. I rejoice tonight, my friend, that I'm never going to be separated from the love of God. I rejoice in Christ Jesus and His presence.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
First Corinthians 15.
Praise the Lord.
6 says, "The thanks be to God to give us up the victory."
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's the victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Isaiah 35 says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given in unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." That's part of what we're here for.
Amen.
Say to them that are of a fearful heart, "Be strong. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness.
Amen.
The unclean shall not pass
Amen.
Over it.
Amen.
But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though foolish,
Amen.
Shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there.
Amen.
And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, come to Zion with songs and everlasting
Amen.
Joy upon their head.
Hallelujah.
They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Praise
then
the Lord.
Over in chapter 51, in verse 3 it says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the glory of the Lord. Joy and gladness
Amen.
Shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody."
Amen.
And verse 11, he repeats almost word for word
Amen.
What he said a while ago. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
Amen.
They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away."
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Everlasting joy.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Isaiah 51:11. Let me sing it.
"Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon them. The Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall be away.
Everlasting joy.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Steve, I can tell you somewhat how that truck driver felt.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I was in Louisiana and stopped in a fog bank, and this truck had stopped, and I plowed into the back of it. My door flung open, and I just remembered of all the cars that were behind me. And there about 12 o'clock that night, just outside of Lafayette, I ran back up out of the fog bank in the Midian and began to wave my coat and scream. And another 16 cars, including a gasoline tanker, plunged into that wreckage, and 5 people went out into eternity to meet God in just seconds like that. I know that it was a feeling of, the greatest feeling of horror also the greatest feeling of helplessness that I've ever known. I literally felt like, and I literally was standing at the gates of hell, the mouth of hell, and trying to stop. And I was just as if I was a babbling drunk or a brainless idiot on the side of the road. They paid me no more mind than if I was invisible.
Oh, if they'd only known.
And if they'd only known. And I thought about it. For 2 years after that, I woke up during the night with cold sweats and still waving that coat. And I thought, oh, God. Now, I wonder, and I don't know that I've ever been that intense in pleading with a sinner to keep him out of hell, trying to win him to Christ. And I thought, I guess, 1,000 times, Dale, you know, if I were that intense in pleading with sinners to come to Christ, I wonder what God would do. And I thought, well, many times, though, because of the blindness of Satan and sin, even then, they just pass on by. But I'm so thankful to God for His grace and His mercy.
Thank you, Lord God.
You know, and finally after screaming and hollering, one truck driver stopped and gave assistance and threw out the red flares. And then they were stopped and it ceased. And I thought, well, you know, I guess after the first or second or third car, I could have just given up in despair and walked away. And God only knows how many others would have plunged into eternity. But that reminded me of that when you gave that illustration. But what I really wanted to share, as well as make that comment, was in Luke 16:5. I found a question this week that just jumped out of this passage and grabbed my attention. It's not about the rich man in hell, but it's about this steward, where Jesus said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that had wasted his goods, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, or thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And that's the question that really jumped out at me. How much owest thou my Lord? And I began to answer that question in my mind. And we owe him our time.
Amen.
Our time, not just what we've got left over, but all of our time, that it ought to be for the glory of God.
Amen.
And not only do we owe him our time, but we owe him our talents.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever talents we have, you know, we sometimes think they're few. I look at folks like dealing with his instruments, and I've always wondered how in the world people just picked up stuff and played it like that, because I've never been able to even play the radio without getting static. But we think, well, you know, maybe that's not much, and some talents we do have, but whatever they are, we owe him that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, were it not for him, we would have been born deaf,
right?
Mute, blind. Then what talents would we have? We owe him our all. Guatemala last year, I was working with a man, and well, he was working with me, and we were looking for some deaf people. He has a deaf ministry that he institutes on the mission field. And we found a 14-year-old boy. His mother wouldn't tell us where he was at first, and and one of the next door neighbors told us, well, you'll find him just around the corner there. Said he's got a shine box and he's shining shoes there at the bus stop there in Guatemala City. You'd probably remember the place if I could tell you the Colonia. But hey, we went around there, and this man was somehow going to try to speak to him. But he was born deaf. He didn't know deaf language. He didn't know any language. He didn't know the name of God. He didn't even know there was a God. He couldn't talk to anybody. He couldn't communicate in any way whatsoever. And I felt so helpless. And I said to this brother, What could you do? I mean, it's like trying to win a tree to Christ. You know, the tree's got a soul, but it's still just a tree. And, you know, how would you witness to a dog or a cat? You know, well, they don't have a soul, but this boy did.
That's right.
It's the same story. And I said, what do you do? And he said, well, all you do is take this course that I've developed, which is a big, thick notebook, and you go to square one with pictures, and first of all, you teach him sign language and what they mean. You show him the sign, you show him the picture, and you explain that the sign means the picture. And after about 2 years, when he learns the sign language, then you can tell him about God. Mm-hmm. Brethren, we owe him our time.
Amen. Amen.
And we owe him our treasure.
Yes.
I know we don't have much, but I'd venture to say that all of us probably have more than we've ever had before.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And we owe him our treasure.
Amen.
We could have been born in Ethiopia tonight and be one of those starving hundreds of thousands that have nothing. We owe him our treasure. And we owe him our testimony.
Yes.
I mean, the lips, the praise of our lips.
Yes.
Giving Amen. Thanks unto his name. We owe him that.
Amen.
It always amazed me of these people that Christ saved and healed. And I never understood when I first got saved how he could tell these people. Now, don't tell anybody about it, you know, because it was not the time. But I thought, man, you know, these people don't have any respect. I mean, they don't even listen to God. And he told them, don't tell nobody. They just told somebody.
So everybody.
They did. You know, he said, go back, but don't tell nobody. And they went back and told everybody.
Amen.
I thought, man, these people they sure don't mind very good,
yeah.
You know. But I tell you what, you know, even God would tell you, shut up. A believer would still testify. I mean, you just got something in your heart, right? And God would tell you to shut up and you'd still say, praise God!
Amen!
Say! I don't know if you've been down that pit that I was in, but I tell you what, man, every time I look back at that pit, I mean, you just have to speak.
Amen, that's right.
I mean, we owe him our testimony.
Amen.
And we owe him our thanks.
Amen.
That's what Thanksgiving is all about.
Amen.
We owe him our thanks. But lastly, we owe him our total commitment.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I heard always, I've heard many times that Mahatma Gandhi over India many years ago when the missionaries first went there, he said the greatest hymn that had ever been written was that's what happens when you get old. But anyway, what happened, what brought it about was there was missionaries who went in with an audience to him. And he said, I would like for you to sing the hymn in your religion that expresses your deepest devotion to God. And there were six or seven of those missionaries. Without any previous consultation, they lifted up their voices and began to sing, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all."
Amen.
Amen.
And he was so moved, he said, "Undoubtedly, that's the greatest hymn of any religion in all the world. Not just the Christian faith, but of any religion." And truly it is. We owe him our total commitment.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable
grace.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's a lot of things you won't find in a lot of other religions. And one of those things is him.
That's right.
I mean, you look around in other religions, you won't find him. You won't find five hymns written to Buddha.
No.
You won't find five hymns written to Muhammad. Oh, but you find thousands upon thousands upon thousands written to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Look at Job chapter 3. You know something? Y'all can be greater than Job. Jesus said about John the Baptist, he said that nobody up to that time, nobody had ever been born that was any greater than this one.
That's right.
Amen. He said another statement. He said, "But I'm telling you, the very least in the kingdom of God is greater than him."
Amen.
And you know, God, that doesn't mean that they're greater in some sort of a value inside, but they've got a much greater opportunity or a much greater grace given to them.
Yes.
Something about that them is greater. And I want to tell you one thing, that you can be greater than Job. You know, look at hold your finger there on Job chapter 3 and look at Psalm 68. You all know it because we sing it. Psalm 68 verse 4. It says, I don't even know what it says.
We all know it.
That's what happens when you get old.
Amen.
Psalm 68 verse 4. "Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him." Now that's, I don't really understand all that verse. I don't know who it is that rides upon the heavens by his name. I'm not even sure what Jah is, especially, I guess it's a shortened form of Jehovah. And a lot of things about that verse I don't understand, but I'm glad he put it in there for those last few words. He says, "And rejoice before him." And that tells us something about our rejoicing. Our thanksgiving and our rejoicing is not just in front of each other, but there's a real reason. God wants to see you happy.
That's right.
And I don't understand that. But you know something? When God singled out Job, he told Satan, you go work on him. You take my servant Job and you do what you want to him, and you're going to find out something. And Satan did, and I mean, he
Amen.
Ran him through the mill.
Amen.
And Job did not sin with his mouth.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Job came through it, and you know, God was pleased.
Amen.
Now, in the end of Job, he was rebuked.
Yeah.
Job was rebuked. He said, "Now, you have talked a little too much." But he was pleased that he did not sin with his mouth. He didn't curse God.
Yeah.
But look what it does say in Job chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, after this, man, this was after it all happened. I mean, he heard the first news, he heard the second news, he heard the third news, and then he got sick. And then he says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day.
Amen.
And yet, for all that, Job didn't sin with his mouth.
That's right.
Now, you can be greater than Job.
Amen.
Now, you stop and think about it. All the way through, from the time that Jesus said, "Don't rejoice about that you got the devil subject unto you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven."
Right.
We've been able to know that our names are written in heaven.
Amen.
And there's never been a reason to curse your day.
Amen.
Then there's never been a reason.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, all the way through, from the time Jesus came, all the way till today, there are people that are going to jail. There are people getting put on the rack. There have been people that have died, burning alive. There have been people that have been buried alive, roasted, every kind of thing. And one thing about them was that they kept praising the Lord.
Amen.
And you know that Saul of Tarsus, he compelled them to blaspheme, even unto death, and he killed them. And yet something, even Jesus says, something's bothering your conscience.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I wonder if it wasn't ever so often
Amen.
One of those guys who said, "I'm not going to blaspheme the Lord. He's been too good to me. I'm going to die, thank you. I'm going to die singing them hymns. I'm going to die praising the Lord."
Amen.
And I wonder if that wasn't what kept on needling old Saul in the side.
Yeah.
Till one day, Jesus says, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And I know you, Saul.
Yeah,
and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He says, "Yeah, Lord. Man, Lord, I sure am glad you showed up, because I couldn't kick against them much longer." You know something? You can be greater than Job. You don't have to curse your day. And when the tribulation comes, and brethren, it might.
Yes.
It just might come.
Maybe it won't. You know, I hope not. But maybe it will. You know, I've had several people tell me, you know, we're probably going to be going through the tribulation. You know something?
You don't have to fear the tribulation.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing to fear. First of all, anything you know how long it's going to last, you can handle. You know what I don't like is when I have no idea if it's ever going to stop. That's what I don't like. If I know it's going to be 7 years, I think I can handle it. I really do. I think you can handle it knowing how long it's going to last. But if you go through this, you don't have to worry about that. You don't ever have to curse your day. You got it a lot better. I mean, you got it good. There's no reason ever to be as sad as Job. Now, Job might not have been able to see that. He did say a few very deep things and astounding things. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he's going to come back someday. He's going to stand on this earth. And he says a lot of other things that are really beautiful in there. He had some insight, but he did curse his day. You don't have to. You never have to come to that. You know, we like to be upset. Now, I don't know if I can say that about all of you, but I sort of enjoy getting mad. Debbie one time, where is Debbie? She's in the nursery. Debbie one time said, I'm glad she's in the nursery. That way she can't hold it over me. She says, I just don't understand why you get so mad. You know, I'm repairing a car or something. Something didn't work, or I broke something, so I just crashed and step on it or something. She said, I don't understand why you lose your temper like that. I said, it makes me feel good. I feel better. How come I walk in the door, you know, we get in an argument or something, and I come home and I'm mad and I hit the door or something? You know, they don't understand that. Well, we like to feel bad. We like to. That sort of feels good. You know, I'm the kind of a person that just don't like all this mushy stuff. And everybody is just too mushy. And here I go marrying into a family that is so mushy. They are really getting to me because just a while ago, I mean, old Dale comes up and hugs me and I end up kissing him. And I don't know why. But you can tell it's coming off. I see these nice little plaques that say something like, you know, these nice little plaques that say something like, you know, I'm sitting here brushing my teeth. It makes me want to growl. And there's in Linda's house, this plaque that says, no matter where you are or how long the road, a friend's house ain't far away. And I'm sitting there growling. I can't stand these kind of mushy things. Why can't they make a plaque that's more realistic? You know, something like, friendship will never last, but enmity is a constant friend. Something realistic. The fact is, the reason why you want to be sad is because you like to be sad. You like to feel like things are bad for you. You want to feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
That is the reason for depression. People feel sorry.
That's right.
They start feeling sorry, they're looking at how bad they got it, and they don't have any idea. The whole difference, like Dale was saying, between somebody who's standing up and rejoicing and shouting and somebody who's moping and walking around thinking about killing himself, it's not difference in circumstances.
That's right.
There's a lot of people gone through bankruptcy and deaths in the family and all kinds of sickness and disability and all kinds of problems, and they didn't have the same attitude. No, there's no matter what you're going through, it's not as bad as all that. There's people going through worse.
That's right.
And a lot worse. And they can still praise the Lord. The only difference between these two types of people is their attitude. It's what they're looking at. Whether they're wanting to feel sorry for themselves. But you know something? You never, ever have to feel sorry for yourself. The Bible says in the Old Testament, he says that sorrow may come, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
And in the New Testament, it gives sort of a similar thing. He says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. There's a lot of things that can happen, and you can really have it hard. But I understand that. I can see Job getting down on all the things that happened to him, and that would be probably what happens to all of us. But you could be better than Job. If you learn how to rejoice in everything,
amen.
To give thanks in everything, no matter what happens, you can do it. You could make a rule with yourself. I'm going to rejoice at all times.
Amen.
You can always rejoice. For one thing, you can always rejoice. Your name's written in heaven.
That's right.
You can always rejoice.
Amen.
There's never a day, so dreary that you can't stand up and say, you know, the Lord is good. I got the Lord. He's with me. And you know, if the whole tribulation comes, and I'm stuck down here in it, you know, I hope y'all didn't get raptured and me get stuck down here. But if I'm stuck down here, I think that I can still rejoice.
Amen.
You could. Matter of fact, I know you could if you just look to Jesus and say, you know, this is only going to last 7 years.
Amen.
And I'm going to be with you.
Amen.
There's a way to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not going through the tribulation. I'm going out ahead of it.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Sure hope I'm right.
What confidence.
Hallelujah.
You know, Linda said something a while ago about the Lord being the light in that new city. Look in Revelation 21 and verse 23.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation 21:23. You know, if we have our minds open and tuned to the wavelength of God, everything that happens around us makes an impression on us in a spiritual way.
Yes.
It really does. It says here, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Praise the Lord.
Then look down to 22 verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The other day I was out here working in the yard, and Bill and some others, I don't remember who all was there, were talking about the sun.
Amen.
And you know, I never thought about this verse before until after I heard that conversation and what Brother Lindell said. But you know, I knew that a candle wouldn't be good enough in heaven, because that's going to be a long time.
Amen.
Eternity's going to last for a long time. But you know, I never thought about the sun. But Bill was saying that he went to some kind of
seminar,
and they say that the sun is burning out, you know, and so many, how many million years? Or
well, it's shrinking 5 feet per day.
5 feet per day. So anyway, I just, you know, got to thinking, you know, that's the reason the sun's not going to lighten that city, because it would burn out. It would finally go out. As marvelous as the sun is, it's not good enough for
him. Amen.
And I tell you what, Jesus is for all eternity.
Amen.
And you know what? We have that light right now.
Amen.
See, that's one blessing. We don't need the light of the sun right now.
That's right.
That's why we can rejoice anytime, because we don't have to have a lovely day. You see, when people are living in just the things of this world, everything affects them. You wake up in the morning and the sun's not shining and it's raining, and you just feel sort of lousy. You know, you say, well, man, you might as well go back to bed, you know. That's not true in the life of the Christian, because the light is always shining.
Yeah, amen.
That heavenly light,
amen,
is always shining, and it's always bright. There's no need of ever being down or gloomy or depressed, because we have the light of the world.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Praise the Lord.
Just like,
amen,
if he had depended on the sun for eternity, you know, it would have burned out. But Jesus Christ, who shines in our life, is going to shine from now on.
Amen.
Never get any dimmer. You know, I change bulbs in Mexico so often, I know they're not as good as up here. Sometimes I hardly get one put in for it to change it again. But you know, the light that he gave us never burns
out. Amen.
Never have to make any change and never make any adjustments. Don't have to worry about a power failure. I tell you, the power of God's within us, and the light shines continually, and it's going to keep on shining right on through eternity.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Thank you.
He is a light not only of this world, but he's the light of all worlds. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Look at Psalm 4. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I'd like to look at a few statements that he made. He says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing?" Selah. "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the days that their corn and wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and
amen,
sleep.
Amen.
For thou, Lord, only knows me to dwell in safety."
Amen.
You know, this is one of the most, one of my favorite psalms here. It's just a short 8 verses, and I'm sure there's a lot of verses in Psalms that really bless me. But the psalmist here is in one of those pinch situations, you know. He's in one of those situations where he's looking out and he's being oppressed, and he's kind of wrestling in himself, and he's preaching, you know. He's all by himself and he's preaching. If you ever get a chance to, purchase the book Stronger Than Prison Walls by Richard Wurmbrand. That book is a book of 8 sermons that he preaches when he's in prison, in a communist prison. And he's preaching these sermons to himself, and he's alone with God, and he maybe a guard outside his door, and he starts preaching these sermons. And they're like reading through the Psalms. because you get a chance to look down inside the heart of a man who's really going through it and who really knows that his God is there with him and that his God hears what's going on.
Amen.
But look what he says in verse 1. He says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress."
Amen.
But you know, we really don't believe that that's the way it works, and it sure doesn't feel like it. When you're in the middle of the vice and that thing's screwing down and you're the persecution's coming in from every side, and I mean, it looks like the bottom's about to drop out, and the money's gone and the house is gone and things are going down the tube, and it looks like the job ain't doing too good either, or when you're just plain out of work and you can see what looks like the end, it sure doesn't look like you're getting very big. Matter of fact, it feels like you're getting smaller.
That's right.
You know, it feels like you're being pinched and squeezed. But he says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Look at Psalm 119.
Amen. That's glorious.
Look at Psalm 119 and verse 32. You know, the Lord has a reason here. Remember what the psalmist says later on? He says that it was good for me. Tim read that verse this morning. He said it was good for me that I was in tribulation, because then I learned of thy statutes. Well, look what he says here in verse 32. He says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." You know, there's a lot of wonderful things you see in the Word of God, and a lot of wonderful things you'd like to attain to, but there's some things you just don't get till you walk with the Lord for a little while.
That's right. Yeah.
Until you've been through some things that
Amen.
Have squeezed you.
Amen.
He says, "I'll walk the way of your commandments, but don't expect it today. I'll do what I can today, but when you enlarge my heart, then I'll walk the way of your commandments." You know, the psalmist had been through something by the time he wrote this verse. He'd been through Psalm 4 because he says, "When I was, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." You know, one of probably my favorite illustration of that is the St. Lawrence Seaway. Because, you know, as you come down the St. Lawrence Seaway, you reach a point where they've dug off to the side, and they call it the Erie Canal. And they dug this thing off to the side there, and there's a set of locks that go through that canal. Because you get the waterfalls, Niagara Falls and all the falls that go along the main river there, and you got to get this great big huge old ocean vessel down through there and all the way into Lake Erie. And the only way to do it is by going through this set of locks. Now, what they do in this set of locks is you pull this ship in, there's probably 2 feet on this side of the ship and there's 2 feet on that side of the ship, and it stops moving. And it pulls in there and it just comes to a dead halt. And there's walls in front and there's walls behind, there's walls on the side. What they do is they begin to drain the water out. And they drain the water out and they slowly lower that ship to the level of the water on the lower part of the fall. And then when all that water has gone out, they open the gate and the ship passes through. And you know, it's the same thing when it comes back. They pull that ship in there and they open those locks and they let that water flood in there and it picks that ship up. And then they open the gates and it goes out on the upper level. You know, it's not always a steady movement ahead. Sometimes it's a box that you get stuck
That's
in
right.
while he changes the level.
Amen.
Because you're not high enough or
Amen.
You're too high and you got to be brought down. Either one. But you know, he says, "You enlarged me when I was in distress."
Amen.
It just doesn't
Amen.
Feel that way. But he looked through it, and he's about to go through this distress here, and he's telling the people, and he says, "How long, you sons of man, how long will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leisure?" He said, "Look, I did what was right, and I'm in the middle of all these people who are turning it into shame. I lived a godly life, and you guys are just turning the whole thing around, and even though I was good to you, you're turning evil to me." He says, "How long is this going to go on?" And he gives him a statement in verse 3. He says, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call."
Amen.
Now in verse 1 he calls on the Lord and he says, "Have mercy on me." And in verse 3 he makes a statement of faith. "I know he heard me. I may not feel it. And I may still be boxed in, but I know that my God has heard me." Remember that verse over there in Micah chapter 7 where he says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall down, the Lord will lift me up." He said, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." Don't rejoice against me. It may look like I'm down today, but don't you rejoice against
Amen.
Me, because my God heard me, and he set apart me that's right, that is righteous for himself.
Amen.
And he's not just going to give me over to the hands of my enemy forever. He may let you have me today, and he may let you tear me apart. He may let you squeeze me for his own purposes today, but you better count on it. He's going to take me back.
Amen.
He set apart me for himself. And then look down here. He says, he gives some good things. for a time of distress. He says, stand it on, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, be still. Those are the things exactly the opposite of what you do. First thing you do is you go run out and cry on everybody else's shoulder. The first thing you do is you fall down in a heap and start running around in a circle and going crazy. But this is what he says, stand in awe and sin not. You know, that was what Job did. Job stood back and he said, I cannot believe what just happened to me. And his friend said, well, you must have been some awful sinner. He said, look, people, I don't know why God's doing what he's doing, but I know I wasn't sinning. And if I was, he hasn't told me about it. And it seems to me I had a closer relationship with him than you did. So I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to sit on this ash heap till my God comes and intercedes for me. I'm just staying here. And they said, no, you ought to go find out what's wrong. Well, look, I already asked God. And if you fellas can't tell me anything more than that, you're sorry comforter, you know. Job had it right, though. Job said, I'm going to sit here. All I want is a chance to face my God. Don't kid yourself.
That's right.
There's a lot of people who say, what's your God doing for you? Mm-hmm. You're saved and that's what God did for you. There's a lot of people who believe that. There's a lot of people who say, how many people are there in your religion? Well, I don't know. There's millions of them all over here. I couldn't count. We don't have any records. I have no idea. God knows. Well, how many are there in my religion? Probably billions. Probably millions of billions. I don't know. There's more people in yours than mine. Well, then which one of us has the truth? I mean, who's doing good for who? You know, if it was all that bad, would all those people be in it? Truth is, that's just the majority is wrong in that case. But you know, they say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. You know, in the army, we have this little device. They call them night eyes. They call them cat-nabs. Beautiful little set of things. They only weigh about 4 ounces, and they fit on your eyes like a pair of goggles. And no matter what you do or how dark the night gets, there's always what they call an ambient light. There's always a light there, even when it's pitch black. You just can't see it with your eye. But there's always a light there somehow. And what this device does is, even though it's so light, it weighs practically nothing, and you hardly feel it when you wear it, you can see out into the darkness. And you can see everything that moves out there. And you can almost see in perfect, everything's a little fuzzy just a little bit, but you can see, you can make out everything that's out there because there's an ambient light that falls, I mean, that shines on the earth. Even when it's pitch black, cloudy night, there's always that light there. You just can't see it. And you know, even for those times when you're undercover and you're in the most pitch black place, there's a little mouth on the side of that thing. You turn this little mouth, and there's a little dinky light bulb right between your eyes. Right there. And this light bulb shines out a type of light that you can't see with the naked eye. And you can't even see that light bulb shining. It's a very dark, dark red light bulb, and it shines this light out, and you can see for about 25 or 30 feet ahead of you with that little light bulb. You know, they're the most wonderful thing in the world, but you know, even though that light is always there, you can't always see it. And you know, these people say, who'll show us any good? Lord, lift out the light of thy countenance upon us. The psalmist says, if I was going to go into heaven, he'd be there. If I climbed the top of the mountain, he'd be there. If I descended in the depths of hell, he'd be there. That light is always there, my friend.
Amen.
That light never goes out. That light is always shining there. You just can't see it. Because you just don't have the right eyes. And when you get down there and you think, oh God, this is the darkest hour of my life. No, it's not. It's probably just about the lightest. You just don't have your cab nabs turned out.
That's right.
You're just not wearing the right kind of goggles yet, you know. It's like coming out of the snow. Even though it's bright inside, you can't see a thing. You're standing out there in this white light and you don't realize how bright it is, but your pupils are little dinky pinpoints, and you walk out and they call it snow blindness. Because after you're out in this thing and then you step inside, it's like it's pitch black. Mm-hmm. Even though it's perfectly light. Mm-hmm. And in a few minutes, you'll be able to see just fine. But when you first walk in, you can't see a thing. What's the problem? Is the light the problem?
No,
the light's there. The light's perfect. The light's fine. The problem's your eyes.
Right.
You can't see right. The problem's not the light. Well, look what he says here. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine increased.
Amen.
When you look back at the first Thanksgiving, how many people on earth do you suppose had a good harvest that year? Bunches of people. In many different lands. Had fantastic harvest that year. So why was it that only one group of people made an indelible mark on history like they did?
Amen.
Why was it that one group of people said, we're going to declare today a day of thanksgiving, and all we're going to do is sit around and eat all day long and praise the Lord for the fact that He blessed us this year? What was the difference?
Another cabinet.
That's right. They had their cabinets on.
That's right.
They could see. You know, there were a lot of people on earth who could rejoice that time.
That's right.
Who hadn't been through the darkness that they'd been through. Who hadn't walked through the valley of death and watched their loved ones die and their children and their wives and had that long, dark journey across uncharted seas where they didn't know even exactly where they were going. They had no idea. What they didn't say, we're going to go to New York City. We'll know there. We're nowhere there when we see the Statue of Liberty. They had absolutely no idea what was ahead of them. All they knew is that somewhere out there, if you keep going due west, you hit another body of land out there, and nobody knows exactly what's out there, but there's another body of land out there. It's a new land. And they set out on that dark journey, and after all those trials, they sat down to a Thanksgiving dinner and to a day of praising the Lord. And you know what? I can just about reckon to you that had they not had that harvest, they still would have had that Thanksgiving. Because those people had something from God.
Amen. Right.
Those people could look out and say, we made it through the winter, and we made it through the summer, and God's going to provide for another winter. He provided for last one, and we made it through there. Not very many of us, but praise the Lord, we made it through.
We're going to make it. Amen.
But you know what the difference was? God put something in their heart that regardless of the corn and the wine that everybody else had, they had joy.
Amen.
All the way through it.
Amen.
They had their cab nabs on at night and their sunglasses on in the day. Look at this. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety.
Amen.
Now, you know, there's something I know. The first verse of this psalm, he says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, was written after the last verse was experienced. I mean, he wasn't writing this thing down. Step one, this is what you pray. Step two, this is what they say. Step three, this is what you do next. You know, life is not that way, my friend. Life is not a formula. I wish I could give you a formula and say, every time you run into distress, do this. Every time something bad happens, do this. But you know, that's not the way it is. This man went through this thing, and after he got out of it, he realized, you know, the Lord made me dwell in safety anyhow.
Yeah, amen.
And he was sharing with me when he got to Germany that he had been praying, Lord, protect my family when I'm gone. Protect my family when I'm gone. And somebody asked him one time, well, who's protecting him when you're here? The Lord's been doing it all along. He's been doing it when you're gone as well as when you're here. You just feel more secure about it when you're standing there watching.
That's right. Amen.
But he said, thou only makest me to dwell in safety. You know, after he gets done with all that distress, and after he goes through all that close communion with God that distress produced, and after he looks and he says, you know, I think I grew a little bit out of that situation.
Amen.
I think I grew a little bit out of that trial. But you know, Lord, even when I thought I was dangling over the cliff by a spider's web, your hand was right there. Amen. And you know, the next time I'm in trouble, I think I'm just going to go to sleep. I think I'm just going to sleep right
there. Amen.
You know, other people get high and try to ride through it. But you know, that's not the answer. Because then one day you got to come down, man. I mean, sometime the drugs got to wear off and you got to face reality sometime. And if you create a bad reality for yourself by messing your body up and your mind up, then when you finally come down out of your high, reality is three times as bad as when you left it a week ago. Mike Warranty says, you get high, you stay strung out for a week, and then the rent is a month due. So you get high, you stay high for a couple more weeks, and you come down, and the refrigerator's empty, and now the rent's a month and a half late. And so you get high, you're strung out for a couple more weeks, and you come down, somebody stole the refrigerator. And the rent's 2 months late. I mean, this stuff really does something for you, you know? But you know, the psalmist had a peace here. He said, you know, Lord, the next time something goes wrong, I think I'm just going to lay back on your arm and lean over and put my head down on your chest, and I'm just going to go to sleep in peace.
Amen.
You know why? Because I have seen that you took care of this, and I have absolutely no doubt that the next time I drop flat on my face, that you're going to be there to catch me.
Amen.
Because you caught me this time.
Amen.
And I'm going to make sure I have my cab nabs on this hip and my sunglasses on this hip, and when it gets night, I'm just going to flip these out. Everybody else can stumble around in the darkness. All they want to stumble around in the darkness. I'm going to wear my cab nabs. That's just foolishness to me. To be running around in the darkness when there's plenty of light out there to see by if you just had the right eye. So I'm just going to lay me down in peace and say, when I think about the last year, we really have come through some things.
Amen.
You know, since the last Thanksgiving meeting, since the last time we met and just gave thanks to the Lord, we have come through a lot of things.
That's right.
There are people meeting with us today who weren't here a year ago.
Right.
There are people who we count as dear brothers and sisters who didn't meet with us a year ago.
Thank you.
And there are people who we count as dear brothers and sisters a year ago who aren't with us anymore.
Right.
We suffered bereavement, loss, and we suffered, and we've been through great times of blessing, no doubt. When I think back on the mission conference and the revival and the souls that have been saved and the family members that have been won and the witnesses that have gone out and the ways God's blessed us and
Amen.
Added to our family,
Amen.
We have been through some of the highest mountains and through some of the lowest valleys you
That's
can
right.
go through individually and as a body.
Amen.
But you know, we still meet here.
Amen.
We're still here. And that little thing that looks like a bonanza is still sitting on 602 Oakville.
Man,
and we still worship the name of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ
Amen.
In that building.
Amen.
And through all that storm, God just rode us through. And when we thought we were high up on the mountains, God was still pulling us right on through. You know, there's a story about the old guy who, he lived on Long Island. Now, Long Island is a little island that sits out in Lake Huron, just above Detroit City. Now, it's not the Long Island you know of in New York. It's another little Long Island. It's a little island. It's 3 miles long, and it's a mile wide. And there are only two people that live on that island. There are two old hermits, and one lives at each end of the island. And they're brothers. And they inherited each of them inherited a piece of land on the end of this island from some great-grandfather or something like that. And they live out there on that island. And other than that, it's desolate. It's a place where biologists and zoologists go and study all these fancy birds that live out on this island. So nobody goes there. It's a deserted island. And one time, it was the dead of winter, and one of the brothers invited the other brother. He said, "Listen, I want you to come and eat dinner with me." He said, "I want you to come and eat dinner with me on New Year's Day." He said, "And we haven't seen each other in a year, so every New Year's we'll meet." So he set out, and before he left, he built his fire in his stove. And he had this wood all laid in there, ready to go, and he had his matches laid out. And he got his dog and his horse, and he rode out for his brother's house. And he got about 3/4 of the way there, and a blizzard hit. So he turned around and he started going back home. And about another 3/4 of the way back home, he fainted. He dropped out. And you know, that horse dragged him all the way back to his cabin and dropped him off by the front door. And all through all the storm and all the wind, the dog led the way and the horse followed. And they dragged that man back. And they dropped him off in the front door, and with the last bit of strength that he had, he crawled in there, lit that match, and fainted in front of the stove. And that match fell down, and he awoke a couple hours later to a blazing fire. You know, through the whole thing, when that man was unconscious, and when that man was about to die, that horse just plodded right on. Just walked right on through the snow. And in those high times, the Lord was just plodding right on. And in those low times, the Lord was just leading us right on, just
Amen.
As safe as could be, just as secure as could be. When we thought we were over the edge and gone and done, God was just plodding right on. And we
Amen.
Can see that now because we're sitting in front of the blazing fire.
Yeah.
And we're having fun around the campfire.
Amen.
And we're roasting marshmallows and we're having a blast. And we're looking back and go, "Boy, we thought we were gone, but God just walked right
Amen.
On.
Amen.
It was really no big deal to him.
That's right.
He just led right
Amen.
On. You know, in the army, you get this little convoy going, and the last guy in line doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't know where he's going to. He just follows the leader through the whole thing. And the guy at the beginning knows, and he's just following right along behind. And if the guy at the beginning gets lost, everybody else behind him is lost as well. We got lost one time, and they fined us almost $10 million. We didn't know where we were, but we had driven out into the middle of this German's Christmas tree field. And all these Christmas trees were about this tall. And they were all underneath of the snow, and we paid for those Christmas trees for 7 generations. The American government did. We didn't personally. But we didn't even know where we were. We just drove off this thing. We thought we were on the road, and we drove off. We had a bad leader. But you know, I thank God we had a leader. We have a leader through the darkness
Amen.
And through the bright days and on the mountains and in the valleys. He leads us straight on a course. Without missing a step and without dropping or losing
Amen.
A single one, he just carries us straight
Amen.
On that
Praise
course all the way through. I can say with the psalmist, I think we've grown.
Amen.
I think we've been enlarged through the distress.
Amen.
I look at us now, boy, we're getting ready to build another building, a bigger building. I was thinking a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure we need it. I'm sure we could fill it. And then Sunday morning came, and we didn't hardly have enough chairs in here. We didn't hardly have enough room in this little building. Man. Come next year, we ain't going to be able to fit anybody in this building anymore.
Amen.
Hardly. Praise the Lord. God's built us up.
Amen.
He's taken us through some things. He's had bad doctrine thrown at us, and he's had trials thrown at us from without and from within. And through all of that, he's grown us.
Amen.
And we're bigger. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And I can look at us individually, and I can look and pick out some brothers and say, hey, he's bigger than he was before. He's a better brother than he was before. He's grown in the Lord this year. He's been through some things with God. He's walked with the Lord. Praise God. He's still faithful.
Amen.
I think I can count on him to do some things.
Amen.
I mean, he's been through some things in the Lord. I can count on him now. Praise the Lord, you know. I look at it, man. We got, Linda told me a year or two ago, they had four people in her Sunday school class. They had what, 30? 30 kids this week and last week in the Sunday school class. Oh, what a blessing. I mean, all these little kids running around here, how many of them are saved? And we just baptized another one last week. Praise the Lord for what he's done for us. He has really taken us through some things. And all through all that, he has really blessed us.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And now the church in San Luis has grown so big, and we think, well, it's about time for us to hike out of there and go somewhere else and see if we can start work somewhere else.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look what he's done. Man, I'll tell you, of all the people on the earth, I don't know about all the other churches. I've been to some other churches, and I mean, I've been a couple years in other churches, and I have never seen a church blessed like this one.
Amen.
I really never have.
Amen.
I have never seen a church where the individuals minister to each other.
Amen.
I don't know if you realize how much of a blessing the open meeting is, the body ministry.
Hallelujah.
Being able to come in,
amen,
being able to be lifted up and ministered to, being able to minister to people. We had a preacher come in this year, and he was hoping to hear Linda preach, and Linda wasn't in here. He was off somewhere else preaching, and he came in, Brother Ken Hutchins, and he called Linda up later. He said, but boy, I sure got a blessing. They sure ministered to me. And it was just the brothers. It was just the brothers and sisters just meeting together,
amen,
ministering to each other. Boy, God has really blessed us here. Of all the people on earth, we at this church have more of a responsibility to be more thankful than anybody on this
entire
earth. What God's brought us through, how God's built us up, how he's held us safe, how he's shown his light upon us. We stand and bask today in the warmth and the sunlight of the Lord through this Thanksgiving conference. We've got more work done than we ever thought we were going to get done.
That's right.
We're looking forward, man. We're ahead of the ball game. We're not worried about it. The building fund isn't lacking that much. I mean, we're just basking in the sunlight.
Amen.
He blessed us for a Thanksgiving concert and paved the way so that we had no worries through this whole thing.
Amen.
Look at us. Are we sitting pretty or what?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
If I dropped out tomorrow, I still sleep in peace.
Amen.
I still lay me down because I know he made me secure before. He'll make me secure again.
Amen.
Let's be so thankful, brother. You know, we have a responsibility to be thankful.
That's right.
We not only have a right, but God has blessed us with so much. He has the one Pharisee over there. He said, a man had two servants, and one owed him 70 talents, and one owed him 10. And he frankly forgave them both. Now, which one do you think loved his master more? And he said, well, I suppose the one who owed him 70. He said, that's right, because he'd been forgiven the most. Brethren, we owe that love to our Lord more than anyone else on earth. We here in this church, because of the magnitude of the blessings he's given us.
Amen.
And of the things he's brought us through, and the ways he's blessed us, and the things he's frankly forgiven us for in the last year. Let's praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord's mercies.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy.
Thank
you, Lord.
Amen.
We have another message. This thing number 67.
First John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
You know, this kind of reminded me of sometimes, I guess I took someone, I don't remember who it was, but I took someone, an Eastern nephew of mine, into McDonald's, and we were having a great time, and I was like, oh, I'll take you to McDonald's. Yeah, let's go. And so we go into McDonald's, you know, and I'm all happy. I get in there, I only have 50 cents. I'm like, okay, well, I get an ice cream cone, right, for both of us, and some water, you know, so I'm like, okay. So we go up there, and, oh my goodness, and she sees this Play-Doh happening, right, and she's like, I don't want the ice cream, I want the Play-Doh, you know, I'm sorry little kid, but I can't get the Play-Doh, and all the people are climbing, they're like, yeah, I want the Play-Doh, well, finally enough money for the ice cream, and you know, you're sitting there like, this is a dying, you know, and you know, you just like, I don't know this little kid, I'm not with you, and you think to myself, and how sometimes you know, even, like my brothers and my sisters, I'll go someplace, and I remember, like, Linda would be on the way home, I can't believe you did that, Oh, my goodness, you embarrassed me so bad, and I'm never taking you anywhere again, and how much I embarrass them, and how unthankful we are sometimes, you know, and I know that I've embarrassed Danny sometimes at work, like I'm sure he was saying, this is not my relative, you know, forget this, and I'm sure my parents, a lot of times, I've really let them down, and they're like, this is my little girl, you know, and we get really ashamed of some of the people that we really care for. Sometimes they're just so unthankful, you know, and you're just really ashamed of them, you know, and then I think of, you know, how I was so mad at that little kid because I was spending my last penny, my last 50 cents on them, and they were so unthankful and so selfish, you know, and I was so mad. And, you know, I think of God, you know? He laid down his life for me.
Amen.
And he gave his only begotten son for me.
Thank you.
Sometimes I'm so unthankful and so uncaring.
Amen.
And I shame his name, and I make him look bad. And yet, what manner of love have the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? You know, He doesn't deny us. We're still his sons. He still calls us his sons. I'm so thankful for what great manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon all of us, especially me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Lord, thank you, Lord.
Unto him that loveth.
Amen.
Watch us your mercy.
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Be the glory.
Amen.
Forever and ever.
Glory, Lord Jesus.
Amen. You know, when you're singing this song just now, and that next to last verse, how helpless and hopeless we sinners have been if you never had loved us to cleanse from our sins.
Right.
It brought back to me a testimony from one of our brothers last Sunday night in San Luis. His brother's name is Nicolas, and he is a really precious brother. He was really far out, like
that's word,
right?
Yeah.
And he was testifying how he was would make fun of the Alleluias like a lot of people do, you know. He thought it was really funny to make fun of them and ridicule them, you know. And he went along with them, and he didn't have his beer, and he'd just go along with them and make fun of all the Christians, you know. He said he began to, the Lord really began to work in his life, in his heart, and he was saying one night, down I visited their home, his wife, I believe she was on a Christian name.
No.
Oh, anyway, she was at least.
They were coming.
Right, okay. And he mentioned that we came, and, you know, he was had this beer in his hand, and he said he just knew that Brother Dale was going to want to start cleaning up his life and, you know, talk to him about you know, you need to give up this, and you need to give up this, and this. And he said, Danielle said, Brother, I didn't come to talk to you about giving up your things. I came to tell you that I love you, but I tell you who loves you even more, and that's
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You need to get saved. You need to have the one in you that can change your life completely.
Yes.
And I thought about, if you never had loved us to cleanse from our sin,
yes.
You know, if we go and we try to reform people without telling about the one, only one who could really do the
That's
reform,
right.
And we just really are kidding ourselves.
Yes.
We have to go in love and a care for people's souls when we go. And then the Lord does the changing.
Amen.
That person gets saved, he's the only one that can do the changing anyway.
Amen. You know,
if we try to change someone, they might outwardly look like they might change, but inwardly, unless they've been changed from the inside, if I have a real heart change from the Lord, then they're not going to change. So it's really, thank the Lord that he loved us just in the helpless, hopeless state we were in.
Amen.
And how true it is that how helpless and hopeless we sinners have been if he never had loved us to have been from our sin.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for that. This is the same brother. After he finished his testimony, he said, you know, he gave his heart to the Lord and said, now, said, when anyone says, he has his Bible, his big Bible there on his arm. He used to hide it then. But now he holds it, you know, the little one, now he holds his big Bible, and he said, oh, you're a hallelujah. He said, praise the Lord. Now, I sure am. And about that time, a truck of a musical group, they all have danced on Sunday night behind us, down where Bill used to live. And they passed by, and they said, hallelujah. And I really rejoiced my heart, because just like the Lord had told each one of us, as one, our people said, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, gloria a Dios. And it was a little thrill, you know, that
Amen.
we shouldn't take that as a cut down at all. It ought to be a way to say, yes, sir, hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm a hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We're all hallelujah.
Proud of it, too.
Amen.
Thankful for it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we talk a lot about praising the Lord and giving thanks in all things. And although, you know, I still have a rebellious heart. And, I mean, I know it's being changed little by little, but still it's there. And I know, and so do people that have to deal with me, you know. but, you know, we talk about praising the Lord and giving thanks in all things, and not to lift up anybody, but you know, the last year or two that I've been down there, you know, I have somebody that does do that to watch. And Dale was sick a couple weeks ago, I mean, really sick and hurting real bad. We gave him medicine and that. And to me, you know, I mean, I just had a cry, and I don't know if I was crying for joy or what, but here he was in so much pain, he was doubled over, and we're trying to get in touch with the doctor, and he started singing praise songs and praising the Lord. And I just started crying. I was angry, you know. This is stupid, you know. You know, and I know that that's wrong, and I know that's a rebellion in my heart, you know. There's no way I'm going to give thanks, you know, or that I'm going to praise the Lord when this is happening, you know. But you know, it's a real lesson. It's just to me, it's a real blessing, you know. And I want to learn how to praise the Lord, but I don't want to have to go through the
That's how you learn.
And you know, now that we're giving Thanksgiving here, you know, and we think, hey, you know, the whole world is with us giving thanks, but you know, they're not. Yesterday, you know, when I was out. You guys were eating. I was out, you know, and I went into the Stop and Go store for Diet Coke, and this lady was standing there talking to this other lady about all the cooking she had to do, you know, for Thanksgiving, and you know, all this stuff. And I said, yes, you know, praise the Lord, this is Thanksgiving. And they just stopped at me and looked, you know.
What?
Yeah, like, you know, praise who? And you know, the people, they are people, I mean, the world calls it Thanksgiving, but they're not thanking God.
That's right.
They're really not. They're not thanking God. They're thanking one another, or thanking family, or thanking, you know, but they're not thanking God. And so even though it's a day for everybody, we're still isolated, you know. And like Billy said yesterday, you know, I praise God for people that come to church on Thanksgiving Day. Why should that be so strange? I mean, you know, since Thanksgiving is to thank God, you know, it's a place to go, you know. But I don't know, just all these thoughts, you know, are just sort of coming in, you know, and I'm saying, you know, we talk a lot about thanking God and about praising the Lord and about giving thanks in all things, but how much is really actual? I mean, how much do we really, really do? And how do we change that? And I guess it's all in practice, isn't it?
Amen.
And like you say, staying is even through gritted teeth.
That's right.
To, you know?
Amen.
And to me, that's a blessing to know that I'm not the only one that has trouble, but I can also see somebody that
that it is an obtainable goal.
Yes.
And to me, I praise God that I've been put with somebody that does know how to praise
Amen.
God. Because I am one that tends to feel sorry for myself a lot, I guess, or tend to depression. And so the lesson there, somebody that is always praising the Lord, it's a review.
Amen.
And I praise
Amen.
God for it.
Amen.
Let me say, you know, I guess that we would be strange even to a lot of Christians.
Amen.
I mean, these meetings that we have, it would be strange to a lot of believers. But you know, I learned how to thank the Lord a long time after I started preaching. I'm not saying that even when I first got saved, I said, thank you, Lord. You know, I was thankful. But I really didn't know how to praise. You know, look at with me, Hebrews 13:15 was the primary verse Amen. That started me off. Hebrews 13:15. And then I had a brother that came by. He was sort of a pushy brother, actually. He was a, I don't know, not like me, of course, but this brother was a Chinese architect or engineer out of California, but he was a believer. And I picked him up, and he stayed in my house with me several days. And I mean, this guy was pushy. I mean, he'd tell you how to run your house. He'd tell you how to drive the car. He wanted me to drive the car with both hands on the wheels. I've driven nearly 2 million miles. I don't drive with both hands on the wheels, you know. I just do it automatic. I don't even think about my driving. You may not want to ride with me, but I never even think about it. I ride fine. And I've got a lot of miles behind me and very little trouble in those miles. But, you know, this brother was sort of pushy. But, oh, I thank God for what he did for me. You know, there's a verse here. Hebrews 13:15. Brother, if I could teach you something, after you got saved, got your eternal security settled. If I could teach you something, I'd like to teach you to pray.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I'd like to teach you to thank God. I'd like, you know, some of you are down tonight. Maybe you're in the meetings. Maybe you're looking for something to bring you up. But you'd like to get close to somebody who's praising so a little of it would rub off on you, you know. And you wouldn't walk out of here so down and wonder why everybody's so happy and I'm so sad. You know. Here it is. By Him.
Amen.
Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
It's sacrifice. It's sacrifice.
Amen.
And what does a sacrifice do? It costs you something.
That's right.
Oh, everybody can thank God when they were in the Reader's Digest sweepstakes.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Everybody can thank God just after they got through eating 3 pounds of turkey and you know, a couple of plates of dressing and they've got everything and they want. Oh, my friend, listen. Listen to me. And the world thanks God that way. The world thanks everything that way. The world thinks about their blessings when everything goes right for them.
Yeah.
You got to learn to praise God every day.
Amen.
You got to learn to praise God every way.
Right.
You got to learn to praise God in everything.
Amen.
You got to learn to praise God because of everything.
Amen.
And these are steps of faith. I'm not talking about something that's easy to do. The average Christian will never reach this place.
Amen.
Understand me. Mm-hmm. Understand me. If we exclude lost Christianity out there, there's a lot of church members that are lost.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who profess to be saved that are lost. There are a lot of people that are pastors of churches that are lost. There are a lot of people that are deacons and Sunday school teachers that are lost. There are a lot of people that are members. They've been baptized. They're lost. They've never been saved. I was a church member in 2 different churches, baptized twice, and was on the road to hell before Jesus Christ saved my soul.
Yeah.
There are a lot of church people out there that are lost. Now, let's just exclude them. Let's look down to the kingdom of God, the born again.
Amen.
The born again within the church, Christendom. Most of them will never learn to praise and thank God.
Amen.
You know, I gave to my honors class. I teach school, some of you don't know, but I teach history and have for a long time. And I have an honors class in history. Some very sharp kids, and they really do well on anything, and they strive and they compete, and they're much different than what you have as the average student or the poor student. And you know, I gave them a special report, and during the 6 weeks, it was a research paper on Thanksgiving. You know, when I gave it to them and explained what I wanted, go back and study and see what the Pilgrims did. Why did they give thanks? Then look at the history of Thanksgiving in America. How was it taken in America? Then when it became a national holiday, what do different people do about it? And then what do you have to be thankful for? And you know, I had several kids that, what are you talking about, thanking God for a turkey? They didn't know. They didn't know. You know, they've never been taught to thank God.
Amen.
Thankfulness is something we need to be taught.
Amen.
We need to be taught it. I had to be taught how to open my mouth and praise God. I remember as I sat around the table, this Chinese brother that came in from California, and I didn't know him from Adam. I was just asked to pick him up at the airport and take care of him for some other brothers and then deliver him at another place. And this fella came into my house, and I've been preaching the gospel for years. I'd won hundreds, maybe even thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd preached to millions of people. I'd been a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. I knew how to say amen. I knew how to say praise God.
Amen.
But I didn't know how to praise like the book praises.
Yes, right. Amen.
I didn't know how to walk in praise day by day. I didn't know how to walk in joy through a lot of bad things. I knew how to cuss. I knew how to fight. I knew how to lay down and cry. I knew how to pull the pillows over my head. But I didn't know how to praise God.
That's right.
Praise. And that brother said, let me tell you what. He said, just take a verse and say, we have an altar. Amen! We have an altar!
Amen.
Amen. We have an altar.
Are you crazy? I'm not crazy. Amen. We have an altar.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
We have an altar where they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. I've got a peculiar right nobody else has got.
Amen.
Praise God. He said, think about that and say hallelujah. I'm sitting at my kitchen table, you know, breakfast time. Hallelujah. I didn't feel like saying that. In fact, I felt stupid. I felt like the biggest. I felt like a 275-pound idiot.
That's a big idiot.
That's a big idiot. You know something? Watch out, boy. I'll settle on you. Won't be nothing left with a little bit of keeping hair. Praise God! You know what, Ed? It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice.
That's right.
Amen. The sacrifice of praise. Do you offer sacrifices just when it's convenient?
No.
You offer sacrifice when it needs to be offered.
Amen. Right. Amen.
You know, my Bible says I'm supposed to praise God continually.
Amen.
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 Continually. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise! What is praise? It's bragging on Jesus!
Amen. Amen.
Can you brag on Jesus too much? You can't brag on Jesus too much!
Amen.
You can't stretch it too big and over-brag on Jesus. Or you may over-brag on your pastor. You may brag too much on your wife. You may brag too much on your boyfriend or girlfriend. But you can't brag too much on Jesus!
Amen.
He said, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
Amen.
This isn't just for you. This is for God.
Yes, right.
This is for God. You know, I've been married to not a perfect woman. I could make her a perfect woman if she'd listen to me. But no, she's a perfect woman. I've been married to her almost 32 years, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, in those 32 years, I tell her I appreciate her.
Amen.
Amen.
When she cooks a meal I like, I don't just ignore it and grunt and belch and walk out the door. I say, honey, that was good. Ooh, I like that. Woo!
Make it again.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, would you make that again next week? I sort of like that. Ooh, that was good stuff. I brag on her. I praise her. I tell other people about her. But I tell her. I tell her, I say, man, you're special to me.
Amen.
You're special to me.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
You know, there are a lot of women walking through this whole life, the husbands never tell them that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There are a lot of husbands walking through life, and their wives never tell them that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of children walking through life, and their daddy never says, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're mine. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful you belong to me. You know that good is good for people.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
It does good for God. It does good for God.
Amen.
We ought to have praise on our lips. And let me tell you something. Praise has to be allowed.
Amen.
Right. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not going to go through the whole thing tonight. We're already going a long time, and I wish I could. I should have started this earlier. But I want you to know, you better learn to study praise in the Bible.
Amen.
There's a doctrine of praise. There's a doctrine of thanksgiving. And I want you to know, it's with your lips and it's with your tongue. And you can't offer praise and thanksgiving without using your lips and your tongues and making a noise.
Amen.
Oh, those people, I just praise God in my heart. Baloney! That's not biblical praise. Yeah, hogwash. That's the thing of something else. Oh, we're getting crude tonight. It must be y'all. Couldn't be the junkyard dog. You know something? We ought to open our mouth and say it.
Amen.
You know, I realized, you know, I'm not practiced on this because it feels so funny.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed how when you do something for the first time, you shake all over, you tremble. I mean, you're scared of it. It feels so funny.
Yeah.
So I used to, I jogged at times, and I walked at times a couple of miles in the morning out San Pedro. I live out close to San Pedro, and I'd get on that access road on San Pedro, and I'd go out towards that airport, and I'd come back. And at 5:30 and 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm walking down the road saying, praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Hoping nobody can hear me. I'm driving to work, and the windows are rolled up in my car. And people are looking at me. I guess they think I'm singing or I'm talking to somebody laying down on the floor or something. I don't know what, but I'm saying, praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's not hard for me to say it anymore. It's fun.
Amen.
I have a good time. I mean, I tell you what, I have a time. I'm a party all by myself. I'm a party animal. I have a party all by myself. I'm having a ball all the time.
Amen.
The world wonders why I'm just thinking happy. I'm having a ball.
Amen.
You know why? I'm in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's my best friend, and I can't brag on him too much.
Amen.
And you know what I learned to do? I learned not to just to hold it in. I learned to let it out.
Amen.
Let it out.
Amen.
Open up your mouth and praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can't you think of something good to say about him?
Amen.
You ought to think of something good to say about him every day of your life. Some of you are down tonight, you're whipped tonight, and you wonder what the rest of us are doing. Open up your mouth
Amen.
And declare your praise.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you feel like.
Amen.
Your feelings have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. I am married to this woman even when I don't feel like it.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I am very married.
Praise the Lord.
I'm about as married as you can get. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
I'm thankful that on the day she's as mad at me as she can be, we're still married.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful on the days when I am so low that I can hardly reach up to touch bottom, we're still married, you know.
Amen.
And I belong to Jesus on my worst day.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus just as good as he was the day he saved me on my worst day.
Amen.
In my deepest trial,
Amen.
In my lowest point, Jesus is still Lord of heaven
Amen.
And earth.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is still the Savior that shed his blood.
Amen.
He's still the one that interceding for me as my great high priest.
Amen.
He's still
Amen.
The one I want to go see one of these days. He's the one that walks with me and carries
Amen.
Me. And I need to open my mouth and learn how to praise him.
Amen.
You need to open your mouth. You need to practice praise.
Amen.
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 And I practice with my family.
Amen.
I got a family that knows how to praise.
Amen.
Praise
so you practice. Hey, man. You think people learn to play something like this without practicing? Huh? Not many. Well, there might be a few sit down and do it and just play it beautifully, but not many. You think he plays that guitar like that, he just sit down the first time? Oh, I remember the painful hours I listened while he was trying to learn how to play. I remember all these things. You know, the banjo actually what he was learning first when he was at home. I guess he learned the guitar later on. Listen, it takes practice.
Amen.
Well, I want you to know, I think it is the greatest occupation of a Christian.
Amen.
And I think you ought to practice it.
Amen.
You know something? I learned this myself. You probably won't believe me. And I can understand it because I didn't believe it when this gentleman told me. I didn't believe it. I thought this guy's got to be an idiot. I mean, I believe he's educated and he's intelligent, but this rascal told me, you just keep saying it, and it'll be in your heart.
Amen.
That's right, brother. But he told the truth.
Amen.
You read your Bible. You take your Bible, take thanksgiving and praise, and run your concordance through it. I want you to test every time it talks about lips with my lips, with my tongue. My lips and my tongue. You need to open your mouth and you need to say it. If you got to say it by yourself, say it by yourself.
Amen.
If you got to say it at night walking by yourself, that's all right. If you got to say it at the bed by yourself, do it. But open that mouth and begin to praise God. And then along, you say it long enough, it'll come out of your heart.
Amen.
It'll just sort of flow. It'll start moving out of you. Amen. And you'll be a blessing to somebody.
Amen.
You know, we had a gal around here named Linda Hampston.
Amen.
She's different, bless your heart.
Amen.
But most of different. I loved her, still do. I walk in, I say, how you doing, Linda? She says, blessed, brother, blessed.
Amen.
You know, I didn't mind asking her how she was doing at the door.
Amen.
I didn't mind, you know, it didn't take 3 hours for her to tell me all of her troubles. She said, blessed, brother, I'm
Amen.
Blessed.
Amen.
How are you every day? I'm blessed every day. I'm blessed every day. You know, he said the sacrifice. The sacrifice. Oh no, the blood's already been put out, brother. That sacrifice has been paid.
Right, right. Amen.
Well, it was sufficient. It was complete.
Amen.
You know what we need? We as Christians need to every day get up and offer the sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
We need to offer the sacrifice all day long. We need to offer the sacrifice when we go to bed at night. And I want you to know, I'm telling you the honest to God truth. You take His word, you're going to find that praise is the occupation of the believer.
That's right. Amen.
You need to practice.
That's occupation heaven, too.
I'm going to end it. That's right.